let us declare the year 2016 to be our personal year of fulfillment. Amen. Say this with me. Let your will be done in earth as it is already done in heaven. My mother-in-law used to always correct me. She said, John, my interpretation of it, he says in earth, not on earth. How many, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, you say on earth, right? We're always taught to say on earth, but you can do it both ways, depending on where you're at. If you're thinking about praying for the earth, it's on earth, Lord. If you're thinking about yourself, it's in earth. If it's about you, it's in earth, because we are earth. But here he is. We want God's will to be done on earth as it's done in heaven. We want it done in our families, our faith, our health, our finances, and our relationship. If you want that, say amen. Our first sermon talked about it came to pass, intentions and fulfillment and how they work. 480-something times the Bible says it came to pass, and always represent something that you were believing God for is about to happen in Jesus' name. Second sermon was about it is written, or the power of my written word, writing things down. And if you see on the tables up front, we have more fulfillment sheets for you to turn over and write down what you intend to see happen this year, because there's power in your written word. Your intentions with fulfillment are wrapped up in your needs and desires. Needs and desires bring goals. Goals bring intentions, and intentions lead to action. So set a goal, and if you do that, you will establish an intention and set the direction of your life. Tell somebody this. Are you ready? Say it. A year from now, you may wish.
Yeah, you wish you started today.
The truth is about New Year's resolutions, they don't work. 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolution after 1 week. 60% of people abandon them after 6 months. The average person makes the same New Year's resolution 10 separate times without success. And on the spot for diets, for instance, 5% of those who lose weight, they actually only keep it off. And even 14% of patients, heart patients, who go through different conditions, very few of them make life changes. So the reality is that if you have an intention, you need to write it down. For God believes in you. Excuse me. God believes what's in your heart, and your heart is important. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your what? Your heart. So what your heart believes is important to God. Say to yourself, impossible? I'm possible. Right on. So this year or today, what we want to talk about in the area of fulfillment is labels. Labels, right on. There's supernatural creative power in your written words. You're going to label things this morning. So thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. Let us stand and read the Word of God. Would you do that with me? Sometimes it can be quite a switch from singing to preaching. So I just like, you know, it's like playing defense, and then now you got to switch over and play quarterback. It's like, why do you do that? Anyway, let's read John 1. Ready? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Amen. So the deal is this. The fulfillment for God was Jesus himself. The fulfillment of your words, that's what we're looking for. That will be your fulfillment for you to finish the work of your words, your own words. Let's keep going here. Say this out loud with me. Ready? Because let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Ready? Lord, let's lift our hands and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, you may be seated. What I'd like to do right now is that I'm going to show you a video that I showed last week. And it's a video about the power of words. But the emphasis of showing it again for you this week is to show you the power of labeling and writing things.
Okay, right experiment. Actually, maybe this should be called the consciousness experiment, because that's what this is about. Okay, so obviously these are just little glass jars with lids, all washed up. And then here is some cooked rice. Not much, because the rest of it is in my tummy. Now, this is going in here. One spoonful in there. There they go, two little glass containers of rice. Love and hate. So, I'm going to take the love, I'll stick this one. So we'll stick it across the top, there, like that. Like. Love, hate, every day, for the next month, I'm going to love this rice. Send it some love. Just think love. And with this rice, I'm going to think hate, horrid, hated, evil rice. That's going to be the only difference between these two identical containers of rice, apart from the word and the intention. Day three, fennel seed, still fine. The love rice, still completely fine. As is the hate rice, nothing to report, no changes. Still no change. Day four. See you tomorrow. Okay, so this is day five. And I think you can see on the hate rice, blue mold. You can see that. It's started to mold. Day five. Day six. And you can see the mold grow in there on the hate rice. Look at that. Day seven. Day eight. Day nine. The effects of thought on reality. The difference between these two pieces of rice. That one has got bad negative energy going to it, and one's got love, good energy. The impact of consciousness on reality. Day 10. Day 11. So this is day 13. I dropped this little jam jar of rice, but I think you can see that's gone really bad. It's gone disgustingly bad. Liquid on the bottom. And there's this rice. This, honestly, still looks good enough to eat. 13 days of love and 13 days of negative energies. If this is what happens to a rice, what happens to you when you have good or bad thoughts?
The scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you shall be saved. You know, we would say things about the power of word in church growing up. And sometimes we didn't have, outside of our testimonies, evidence that there really is power in word. It was just things that ancient people wrote and said, you need to confess this, you need to confess God, you need to confess these things, you need to believe these things, you need to write these things down. And we had no true evidence, but now in our more advanced intellectual place as a globe, as a people, as humanity, we're able to test what God said to do. And so when I see experiments like this, I get really excited about, oh, yeah, God's word is true. But I get a little bit concerned about, whoa, why aren't I doing more to apply God's word if it is true? So look at your neighbor and say this. Say it. Write it down. I mean, what labels are you writing down for yourself today? What labels are you writing down for your life? What labels have others given you and placed on you that you may need to strip off and say, no more? That's not who I am. That was something that happened in my life, but what things happened in my life are not who I am. I am not what I've done wrong in my life. How many know that to be true? That just is part of the journey that I'm on, and God's grace is there to help me manage and work through those things that I do right, those things I do wrong, but no matter what, all things in God's kingdom work together for good. So I want you to think about labels this morning, for your labels should determine who you are, who you want to be, and where you are going. Anybody have one of those before? Right. Labels. Weird job. But if you were to label yourself this morning, would you label yourself as dependable, determined, supportive? Are you generous? What's your label? Caring? Right on. Are you hardworking? Absolutely. Are you kind? And even if you aren't these things, you should want to be these things. And you should say to yourself, even though sometimes I'm not dependable, I am dependable. I am determined. I am supportive. I am generous. I am caring. I am hardworking. I am kind. I want you to think about labeling yourself and others. I want you to be conscious of the power of your words throughout this coming year and really bring some things to pass in your life. Someone say amen to that. Now, if we were to label Light the Way Church, because I'm going in kind of a direction here. Our mission team is back. They've done a fabulous thing for the kingdom of God, and this is who we are. This is Light the Way Church. And, you know, if I were to label Light the Way, I'd say that you're kind. You're kind people. And if I were to label you, I'd say there's a great deal of compassion that happens amongst you as a church family. You're gracious. I think there's a lot of goodness within you. I think that you're a family. Give somebody a high five next to you, right? I label you. Right on, family. Right on. Right, and nobody getting judged in here. We just, judgment. It's a no judgment zone. But another thing that Light the Way is a generous church. You are a generous church. With that being said, I'd like to invite our mission team up to the stage. Ralph, and let's give them a big hand as they're coming to join me on the stage. They're going to share a few things as Ralph and... Abby, come on up. Ralph, you can take this mic right here. And
it's all yours. You're the leader. Go get them, Buck.
Good day. As Ray said, Mwaramutse. Good morning. We had an incredible time. We took 8 people from vastly different, I guess you could say, walks of life, a contractor, a labeled concrete worker, I'm a horticulturist, students, and we put together a team. Now, this picture that's up, that's what the ground looked like before we started. So about 2 weeks before we got there, a crew of about 8 locals tore all those trees out and go to the next picture. By hand with crude tools. Yep. And who's
got the clicker?
I got it. Want me to keep going?
There you go.
There you go. Right. Now all that ground that you got is all just dirt. That used to look like what you see beside it. There's some old greenhouses there, and we'll show you how we kind of renovated those a little bit. I got a scripture here. Now, Niemata is, yeah. This picture, real quick, is how a lot of materials were delivered to the site. With a wheelbarrow, over 3 miles, pushed by people by hand.
Yep. Well, they're steel structures.
Not light. And we've had numerous other deliveries done the same way, just and over some very rough roads.
It's either a bicycle or a motorcycle. It's either a bicycle, a motorcycle, or just like that. They load lumber on the back of a bicycle and pedaled it to us 3 miles.
All right. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hid. Nebuchadnezzar village is set upon a hill above the town of Niemata. Mm-hmm. And the time that we were there, and as long as that Nebuchadnezzar has existed, which is what, roughly 3 to 4 years? 4 years. It was very easy for us to see that is a city on a hill shining its light, because if you asked probably 90% or better of the population in that area, where do I go to find the Nebuchadnezzar Children's Village, they'd be able to tell you.
Yep.
It's just what they're doing is that impressive. Again, here's another shot. That's when I first get here. We're just getting started. You can see they put poles up. That's the start of the greenhouses. We set into concrete, and we were digging to create furrows, but beds. Thank you.
Yeah.
We were creating beds within each house, and then eventually those beds will be planted with, probably in this particular case, tomatoes. And some of the others, onions, cabbage, all the things that they will use to feed the children that are going to be going to the school that we will soon be building. Go ahead to the next. Just different phases of construction. We've got the beds built. You can see down the middle, there's kind of a blank space. We created a bench system, and you'll see a picture of that shortly. The hoops are up. Now, we took his picture of this specifically.
This one was for you.
This is for Pastor, because this is a ladder that Pastor would be proud of. He does all sorts of fun things with trying to get at the lights in here with our big ladder. So this is our this is James showing off the McGee pride.
They didn't own ladders, and they couldn't buy them.
And we'll show you something we created. There we go. We created that, and that thing is made out of eucalyptus wood, and it is harder than rock. I mean, almost. I mean, to put nails through that stuff was, I mean, my hands were tingling for days afterwards. But that ladder will last them forever, or at least a very long time. Now there's a finished house from the one end. It's closed. This is the closed end. It's basically the kits that we bought were called Ameren Farm Kits. You can look them up on Google, and they'll tell you all the different places in Africa and probably in different spots around the world that you can get a hold of these. So I'm hoping in the future to build more of these for other places. And this is the bench that we built out of the same eucalyptus wood. Again, this thing is termite resistant. This thing is not going to degrade for a very, very long time. And the guys from Ameren or from the Balton, which gave us the Ameren Farm Kits, saw these benches, and they were going like, they were very interested. What are you doing with these? We've never seen these before. And they want to find out, once we get them irrigated or plumbed correctly, how well these work, and they're going to start producing them themselves and selling it. Yeah. So we are showing... how'd that get in there?
We'll go to the next picture.
Go.
I got all the sharp ones.
That was... we had a day of a safari trip, and I just thought I'd throw a little fun in there. But we saw a few boomerangs. baboons, boomerangs. Where does that come
from? There you go. It's all the same.
So this is down the side of one of the houses, and then off to the side, this is a pineapple field.
Wow.
Now, the funny thing is that Florianne told us they haven't harvested a single pineapple yet off of this. And it's not because they didn't have some to harvest. By the time they went to grab them, they were already gone. People jump the fence or cut holes in the fence, and they'll, as soon as they see that something's looking like it's almost ripe, they're taking it. So we'd start seeing, they'd basically grab a bunch of weeds and stuff, and they'd prop it up against it so that somebody from outside the fence couldn't see what was there. So they're hoping that they can harvest some soon. Now this is, this has got drip irrigation. You can kind of see some lines down the beds, and those are drip lines. That will, and it's outside the greenhouse, so they'll be able to start growing things year-round inside as well as outside of the houses, because the main reason that they can't grow plants year-round is they don't have irrigation and they have very dry seasons. While we were there, we only saw very little bit of rain, so we were just at the end of one of the rainy seasons and going into a dry season. So they were just harvesting beans and a few other things. And there is a finished house with the irrigation drip, the tank that sits above. It's all gravitational fed. So once the tank is filled, it just you turn the system on through a valve and it waters to your crop. This is an old picture or an initial picture of the old greenhouses. And the next one should show the renovation. We basically took the plastic off the sides, which allows more airflow, and it also lets more light in. We would have loved to have replaced the plastic on top of those houses, but we didn't have time to accomplish that. But that's, in a nutshell, a lot of the things that we did on site.
Amen.
So I just want to talk, I guess, about our experience, and I kind of want to bring Lisa into this conversation as she was paramount with the kids and the locals as well. But the kids in the village, there's about seven of them there. They had to send a lot of them home. So as you guys kind of know, they're transitioning from having a central sort of orphanage into a foster care system in the country. So most of the kids actually had gone home and were with extended relatives and things like that. But there were seven that remained, a family of five, and then two others that didn't really have local families necessarily to go to at this point, and she wanted some kids there with us to hang out. So me and James, I'm kind of young at heart, so I'm still kind of a kid. So I love playing with the kids. We got to play soccer, and me and James actually brought our softball gloves and the softball, and they had no idea what it was. They're like watching us throw this big hard ball back and forth and catch it with these leather mitts, and they were just enamored with it. And so we taught them and we gave them the gloves, and watching them throw the ball back and forth was hilarious. But whenever we tour the grounds, and you can see there's a fence line. It's hard to see sometimes, but there's a fence line, chain link fence that runs through the hole around the edge of the compound. And anytime you'd walk, you'd have these kids just following you on the outside of the fence, just shouting the three American words that they knew. English, it was hi. Usually they'd repeat hi, just constantly. So you're trying to like kind of tune them out, but you can't tune them out. They're like 20 yards away just shouting at you. So I inevitably always had to go to the fence and hang out with them, talk with them. They would copycat every single English word you said, and you try to teach them a few words. But it was the neatest thing for these kids. Like kind of Ray said, they don't have a lot. They really have almost nothing. But they just had the biggest smiles on their faces no matter what. And so we're here, like, I'm uncomfortable. My ears are burnt. My forehead's burnt. And I'm like, you know, I could be crabby and grouchy over the littlest things. And if these kids are just filthy, like, have probably one or two sets of clothes. They're just playing with, honestly, like, their toys were usually trash, like a plastic bag tied on a stick that they'd, like, wave around or something just kind of crazy to think about for our kids playing with, but for them it was just common and normal. So to walk and look and see them through the fence and just the biggest smiles and just want to talk to us and see how we're doing. We're trying to see how they're doing. We can't really communicate real well other than laughing and smiling and high-fiving through the fence. And and things like that. It was just touching to think, like, man, they have, like, nothing, and yet they're the happiest people in the world, mm-hmm. and yet here we are, like, thinking, oh, man, my phone's dying, and it's only halfway through the day. Like, you know, I mean, like, we're sad over something that just they can't even fathom. Like, I pulled my phone out and put it in selfie mode, and they were, like, confused. Like, how am I seeing myself? Yeah. Like, what is going on here? And then they finally would grasp, and they just wanted to take picture after picture after picture. And so we posted a few. You can see them on Facebook. I think that the church shared some of them, but just it was just so touching and also like so kind of sad, and just it made you feel like, oh man, like we got to do more. How can we do more? And I know Lisa, she brought a suitcase full of stuffed animals, probably like 100 Beanie Babies and little like teddy bears and things. And so one day we're driving down this road that's like super washed out, and I'll let Lisa kind of step in here. It's kind of her story to share, but it was one of the neatest things we did. So, Lisa.
So I brought the Beanie Babies, and I had gone to Floriana. I was like, can we just give them to the kids at the fence? She's like, no, you can't really do that because today there's 20 kids. Tomorrow there will be 400 kids. So unless you have 1,000 Beanie Babies, it's going to be a problem. So there was a little guy sitting in the brush, and Mom was working. And we're talking Henry's age, little guy. All by himself, unattended, no noise, no behavior, no, he just sits there. So we notice him, and I run in the house, and I get these couple little Beanie Babies, and he's not even sure what they are. And then Gabby, bless her heart, sits on the ground and plays with him for about 2 hours, and they're laughing, and the parents are looking, and I said, Florian, let me give them to the parents. And I think the parents had more fun than the children being able to pick out a gift for their children. It was just the most beautiful thing I think I've ever seen, where they were playing with them and deciding, and can we have more than one? And I'm like, please, you know, make them go away. So then a couple days, and I'm going to break the rules because I'm a little rebel like that. And I'm like, let's bring the suitcase and throw them out the window because Florian's in a different vehicle and she won't find out. So, of course, we did. And these guys would all pitch them out the windows. We'd see a group of kids on the road and they'd pitch them out. And the minute it crested the glass, there was this squeal that was like, oh, my God, did we run them over? And then they'd run like crazy and the parents are laughing. And, somebody just gave me 700 Beanie Babies yesterday to take the next time we go.
Already?
Oh, yeah.
Just
that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, 700. So, more people have to come so we can bring more suitcases. That's what that plays about.
That's another story.
It is another story. But, you know, we went to a restaurant that was American, and they had ice cubes. And I was like, oh, my God, you have ice cubes. I can't even believe it. I'm so excited. It was one of the highlights. But the highlight was being able to take the kids of Nebakiri and the house parents on the safari.
It was awesome.
And then seeing a bull elephant. Oh, yeah, I'll never be the same after that. And me again being naughty, I got out of the vehicle and tried to walk towards it thinking I was at the zoo or something.
Florian said, get back in the car.
I yelled at quite harshly for that behavior, but he was so cool, and the kids were just squealing. Well, all of us. I think all of us lost our minds for about half an hour.
I think she squealed more than anyone.
I did, yeah. But thank you, Light the Way.
Amen.
You have no idea the change we can incorporate in this nation. You have no idea how honestly grateful these people really were, how beautiful their lives are. You know, we're fussing, oh, look at them using that tool. It doesn't matter. That tool works for them. And they are up 6 o'clock. I'm opening my eyes. The birds are singing. The smell of the fires is going. The animals are waking up. And you walk out on your step, and they're already working in the fields at 6 o'clock. Just these women just... I'm a weakling compared to these girls. I'm telling you, they could tear some stuff up if they chose to. But they're gracious. They're kind. They shook our hands everywhere we went. You know, if they were a worker and we were dressed, they touch wrists with you and acknowledge you. They tell you that you matter. You know, we appreciate you. Got said to us numerous times by total strangers, I appreciate you. Wow. That was nice to be in a third world country and have somebody just go, I appreciate you. So, okay.
Just a final thought. I want to bookend what she said about the safari. So the kids and these workers, they live in this country. They've never been on the safari once because they couldn't afford it.
Right.
So Lisa, being the awesome person she is, actually sponsored a whole car for the kids to be able to go so that not only us Americans could go, but the locals who had never been and only hear people talk about it were actually able to come. So I know she's humble and she won't say that, but I will state for her. So thank you, Lisa.
They invited me to preach in one of their churches, which, of course, I had to cut into bite-sized pieces and the translator would translate each thing for me. And they were very appreciative. They took up an offering. And believe it or not, here's a church that I'm standing in. No windows. Part of the ceiling is missing. Part of the floor isn't poured. Mm-hmm. It's dirt. The back wall of the church does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
It's got three walls and that's it. They raised a collection for me to preach. $63. And if you don't know that, it's 770 francs to the dollar. So this church that has absolutely nothing raised money for me. And I was dumbstruck.
Awesome.
Dumbstruck. Of course, we donated the money to New Mercury.
Yeah.
You know, it was just totally amazing. And I want to, just one thing. This little thing I got right here. One of the guys, the worker, said, how much is that? And I had to tell him in his language, it was 1 million francs.
Yeah, that's a big number.
And he said, I could never afford that.
Not a fathomable number.
They have these little flip phones, and that's it.
Wow. You got your whole life. You've got a computer in your hand.
It's a totally different world.
So we have a lot to be grateful for, right? But we also have a responsibility with what we have. I want everybody to bow your head and close your eyes. Just for a second, I want you to meditate on something. Because with our friend Florianne and our gracious brothers and sisters of her country, we have a partnership with Florianne to make some things happen over the next 4 to 5 years. So this is the beginning of a number of trips. And already Ralph and Lisa have talked about strategies that they have and things that we're going to do. And sometimes some of these guys may go and spend an entire summer doing work and laying groundwork for things that we are going to do and other organizations are going to do for the village. If as they were sharing this morning and you felt in your heart, you know, I see myself doing this. I'm not saying that if you say yes this morning to the Lord in missions that it's going to happen right away. I'm just saying, asking you, is there an impulse in your heart to do a foreign trip with one of these teams to Rwanda? And if you've had an impulse in your heart, even if you were a teenager, if you had that impulse and you can visualize yourself being there and doing what Gabby did this last time, just lift your hand up. At every head bowed and every hand, just lift your hand. Lift it high and hold it up for just a second because I'm going to pray for you. You see yourself doing this. You see yourself. See myself boarding a plane. I see myself helping. I see myself working. I feel that it's important. And I want to label myself. So right now, we just label each one of these hands, Lord, your hands. Jesus in flesh, or his outstretched hand. For he tells us to go to all the world and preach the gospel to all people. And we preach the gospels with the things that we do. James says, tell me that you have faith, but I'll show you my faith by the things that I do. So I label these guys' faith this morning as they make the decision to say yes to God for the mission's work in Rwanda. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone say, amen. Now, at the conclusion of service, Lisa and Ralph will be by the map. And those of you who lifted your hand, I would like for you to contact, get with them. They're going to take your name, information, and over the next 3 months, they will be in contact. We will be praying. This is a time of prayer preparation for the next time we go. But make sure you make the next step and report into Lisa and Ralph out in the hallway by the maps. They'll take your names, and we'll begin a dialogue and prayer. Let's bless the mission team right now as they go. God bless you guys.
Thank you for your prayer.
Just got a few more minutes because there's, along with the idea of labeling and asking the question, who is Light the Way? And that's what we're able to see, that's who Light the Way Church is. There was a little girl in children's church. There were two of them. And sometimes, you know, the workers, they eavesdrop on the kids because kids say amazing things, don't they? They just say wonderful things. They're in children's church and they're coloring and stuff and they're talking to one another. And they're talking about church. And one time, one little girl says, you know, my parents took me to this really, really big church. And, wow, there were a lot of people. They said, yeah, I've been to one of those too. And the other little girl says, you know, we're going to build a church one day. She says, yeah, we're going to build one there. And she says, I love our church. She says, I love it too. She says, we not be very big. But these were her exact words. We're a little church that does big things. And the Bible says, out of the mouth of babes, praise is perfected. Now, a little church of babes, well, let's put some meat on those bones. 25% of our annual budget this year will have gone to home and foreign missions. The national average for a congregation is 3%. Now, I can't tell you why we're so out of whack and why we're weird that way, but we are kind of weird that way. But it's a good thing. It's not always the easiest thing to manage, but it does work out. But this is a fact. Another thing is this. I personally want to be a bigger church doing bigger things. And I generally don't speak this way from the pulpit. I hope that all of you in your relationship with me have found me to be honest, passionate, insightful. I give you everything I have when you see me or you're with me. And I if you sat with me, I can tell you about the labels that make you as a people who you are. And then I can spell out to you why some of the trade-offs that you make just to sit in this room together makes you amazing people. But that's another topic for another time. But the label that I want this year is growth. That's what I want. So the label I put on Light the Way Church is growth. The Bible says, Jesus said it this way. He says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. So right away, you have different types of laborers in a congregation like this. You have those who will put their hands to it. You have those that will kneel and give their time and pray. You have your financial laborers, the people that fund things. You need all of them to get the work done. And then the more laborers you have, the more ability you have to do exactly what we're doing. Imagine a bigger church that has the ability to do 25% out. Because if that's the national average, 3%, you can only guess what's happening. I'll share some statistics on that in the coming days about giving. But with that being said, this is what I'd like for us to do. I want us to love, grow, and serve in the coming year. Next week, Pastor Monty is going to be introducing 40 days of prayer. How many believe that things begin with prayer? And he will you'll be providing for all of us a daily prayer guide for those of you who will unite your heart for this specific reason, for the purpose of the growth of our congregation. How many would like to have new strangers sitting around you that you can befriend? You can do that. Can you visualize different people around you included and enjoying what you enjoy every Sunday morning? So how many of you will join your heart with me on this? Amen. Prepare your heart this week, and then next week, Pastor Monty is going to take you through the guide. He's going to help you understand what we will do each day. But we believe that God answers prayer. And we also, another thing I want you to remember too is that just because we have an impulse to say something or do something isn't necessarily because we thought of it. Sometimes we have an impulse to do something because God is calling us or summoning us or saying, this is what I would like for you to do right now. So over the years, you've never heard me obsess about church growth. Anyone who's ever been here, you've never heard me. I never do that. I don't play that game. I don't even obsess about money and finances. I simply preach the gospel. And so, but now this is unique for me. So actually, this is very vulnerable for me to say to you, I'm going to pray for church growth. So I thank you for letting me be comfortable and safe to be able to say, this is going to be an object of prayer. You cool with that? Right on. Let's stand on our feet, everybody. Let's do that. Bow your head and close your eyes with me. Amen. Because God's got a plan. I've got a plan. Say this. Ready? Become the right person. Because it's important to us. Seek the right timing by trusting God is above it all. And using my wisdom to seek Jesus through it all. And by all means, live it, baby. Right on. And always do the right thing. And remembering, we do no great things, only small things with great love. And finally, my task is not to seek for love, but merely seek and find all barriers within myself that I have built against love. Because love never fails. Say hallelujah three times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe God created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience to the Father and His plan. He gave His life for all humanity. I believe that required faith. And God meets us at the point of our faith. He brought Jesus back to life again on the third day. I believe the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And everybody say, Amen. Give God praise. Hey, we've got the fulfillment sheets. Go ahead and get them started. You can fill it out right here at the altar. If not, take one with you. Mine is in my closet. I open my closet up. I see everything that I'm going to do this year. Every time I open the closet up. So, God bless you guys.